Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on and bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Come on, bless his holy name. Come on, the presence of the Lord is in this place. Hallelujah, we honor you, God. We thank you, God. Hallelujah. We acknowledge you that you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. And as we approach the throne of heaven this morning, Father God, we yield to you, Father, asking you to have your way, God. We decrease, God, hallelujah, and give up our right, God, and ask you to take complete, total control. Open up the ears of the listener, God, that they may hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Quicken their inner man, Father God, to receive, Father God, impartation, God, of the work and the knowledge, Father God, that you will bring forth on today, God. And so, Father God, we say thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for clarity, God. Thank you, God, for demonstration, God. Thank you, God, for manifestation, Father. Thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you will receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm a worshiper. I can forget these notes and go straight into worship. Thank you, Father. Let's give the songstress a hand for today. Thank you so much for your gift and for the anointing and the presence of the Lord in this place. I bring you greetings from Grace Church in Spring Valley, where my husband and myself, Pastor Zach, are the senior pastors. And what an honor and a privilege it is to be here in the house of the Lord with my sister friend, Lady Joyce Moore. We all say, hey, sister friend. And guess what? All of you, we are sister friends. That's right, because we are joint heirs in Christ, and we are sisters in Christ. And so we greet each and every one of you and praise God for you. To all the clergy in the house, God bless you. I know my training. Hallelujah. We greet you all in the name of the Lord. I want to jump right in. I have a lot to share, and I do have a handout for you. Pastor Clarice, I had to work real hard not to do a syllabus. When you used to teach it at a university, that's the first thing you do is establish your syllabus. And I kept saying, don't do it. But I do have some notes for you. And normally when I do fill in the blanks and things like that, I didn't do anything. I want you to get everything. So you can go back, you can look at it, you can meditate on it, you can marinate on it, and then you can activate. Somebody say activate.
Activate.
So we're talking about praying strategically. So let me put my eyes on, and I pray that you have your spiritual eyes on and your spiritual ears open, amen?
Yes.
Amen. So what does praying strategically mean, and why do we need to do it? Anybody ask that question? What is this all about? Without question, prayer is the most important, potentially the most powerful tool in a Christian's arsenal. Once we became a child of God, guess what? We were put on Satan's hit list. Believe it or not, he has a hit list. Anybody experience that? And as soon as you think you're done with one thing, something else comes, and then you think you're done with that and something else. And then guess what? Because we as believers, God has called us to grow spiritually. And so the enemy knows that we're growing, and he knows that he can't keep targeting us for the same thing over and over again, because eventually we will outgrow that and we will have the victory over that particular thing. So he has to strategize and come up with something different. So if he needs to strategize, how much more is important for us as believers to strategize? Okay? So as I was preparing for the day, the Holy Spirit reminded me about the pandemic in 2019 and 2020. Right before it hit, actually, and he began to speak to me about starting a prayer conference call. And I was like, okay, and I was hemming and hawing, I was going back and forth, I'm like, I really don't want to do it. Like, oh, what does that look like? You know, what format would I use? Who will be a part of it? Because at our church, we already had a Wednesday prayer every Wednesday at 11 a.m. in person. But the Lord spoke to me. He said, there is something coming. And you need to keep moving in prayer. You need to keep prayer going, because more than ever, prayer needs to be established in the body of Christ. And so as he began to speak to me, I just marinated on it and slept on it. And one morning I woke up and I heard the sound of an alarm going off. And I heard the Lord decreeing, clarion call, clarion call, clarion call, over and over again. And I was like, clarion call? I remember hearing that terminology many, many years ago. So I had to go back and I had to research it. And it felt that there was a warning that the Lord was giving me to bring together not just intercessors but prophets to increase our prayer vigil, and how pivotal this time that we would be facing would be crucial, because we were going to be in crisis. Lady Moore calls me every year at the towards the end of the year or the beginning of the year, and she say, what is God saying? What is God saying? Because the Lord always speaks to me during, not just during that time, but he always gives me something for that following year. And that particular time, not knowing what was happening, even though the year prior to that, 2018, the Lord woke me up and gave me a word. He said, get ready, judgment is coming. And I went back to sleep. I said, okay, you know how we do. Yeah, I hear you, God. And I just turned back over, got another snore in. And he woke me up again. He said, judgment is coming. And I was like, this was 2018. And I'm like, okay, God. But that third time, I rose up and I paid attention. He said, there will be many natural disasters that will come. There will be pandemic that will come. There will be disease that will come, because my people have turned their back on me. This nation have walked away from me. Therefore, judgment is coming. So get ready. And I'm like, okay, God. And next thing I know, there's natural disasters everywhere. Think about all the things that we were seeing. The flooding that happened in Houston. Then in other places. And the scripture speaks about that, that there will be disasters in the last day. There will be disasters everywhere. Yeah. There'll be earthquakes in diverse places. And I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But as I began to look up that clarion call, a clarion call is an urgent request for action that is highly clear in its message or directive. A clarion call is a very clear communication or command regarding what action is required. So in that particular clarion call, God gave me specifically what needed to do. He gave me the action, established a conference prayer call. And so I spoke to my husband, Pastor Zach. I said, do we still have that 1-800 number that we still have? We haven't used it for many, many years. He said, let me look at it. And then he said, what are you looking to do? And I began to share that with him. And he said, you need to do that. And yes, I was fighting, but I know not to go against the Spirit of the Lord. And as I began to share with other people, like Lady Moore, she said, you know what? I was thinking the same thing. She said, but why reinvent the wheel? She said, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna partner with you. Look at your name and say, partner.
Partner.
She said, I'm gonna partner with you. Because we are in covenant partnership in the kingdom of God. And more importantly, we are in kingdom partnership in prayer. There is a covenant. And so she said, I'm going to partner with you, and I'm going to get the word out. You let me know when you're ready. And so we was ready. She began to tell other people about that particular Wednesday prayer call. So when the pandemic hit, we began to see the churches shut down. And we couldn't go to church. They even told us we couldn't worship anymore. How dare the devil? How dare he try to shut down our worship? So as we begin to start this prayer call, the Lord began to bring in prayer words and prophets from all over. And I'm not just talking just the United States, but I'm talking across the nations, begin to come on that prayer call. And we're still doing it today, 4 years later. We are still there praying, trusting God, believing God. We're still there in unity and in what are called declaring the word of the Lord through prayer and strategic prayer. And I didn't know at the time that that's what God was saying. And even more clarity as I began to prepare for this, God said, that's what you've been doing all along. And I'm like, say what? I'm like, okay, I got you, Jesus. Thank you. I appreciate that. So what is praying strategically and what is the purpose of it? We all agree that prayer is power. That there is power in prayer. Do we all agree?
Yes.
Pam, can you go ahead and pass those out? Oh, you did already. Thank you, sis. We all agree that the enemy is real.
Yes.
We fight against a real enemy. And his plans are carefully planned. If what's to do more against, he wants to do more against us. We need to understand the strategies he uses and the objectives on which these strategies are focused. If you read according to John 10:10, the Bible said the thief comes to do what?
Steal, kill, and destroy.
To rob, steal, kill, and destroy. And he said, the Lord said, I have come to give you life and give it what? More abundantly, or that you may have it more fully. We were born into a war and live on a battlefield without question. Every day is a battle. Some are in more battles than others. We're in a fight, and prayer is our primary weapon. However, I must caution you, you can't go into a battle or into war with a rifle, and your enemy has a Scud missile. Guess what? You will become a casualty of war. You will become a casualty of war. So what is the purpose of praying strategically? It is to equip you to pray strategically. There are concrete reasons for every form of demonic oppression, whether personal, communal, or national. And he attacks on all of those levels. Satan has been here for centuries. Don't think for a moment that he's not aware of our prayer life, so he is increasing and changing his tactics and his strategies every day. So we expect for him to come one way, but he coming another way. But the Bible tells me, hallelujah, that he has to flee what? 7 ways. Come on, bring it on. Bring it on. A little history about me. Growing up, I was a fighter. Yes, sorry, Pastor, I was. I wasn't a bully, but don't mess with me. I wasn't a type that did a lot of talking. I just punched your lights out. So God knows what he's doing. We all have certain traits and things that God put in us. So now that I'm a believer and I'm a saint of God, now he called me to be an intercessor, a prayer warrior. So not only have I changed who I was sparring with or contending with, I'm fighting against my adversary, which is who? The devil. And let me tell you, we have gone through some battles. As Pastor... Excuse me, my glasses don't work right. But as Pastor Joyce said, I have some serious testimonies. Y'all just don't know.
Amen.
The Bible says that he is right like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And what does a lion do before he attacks? He studies his prey. He's strategizing how he gonna come after you. He's watching your lifestyle. He's watching your prayer life, whether you have one or you don't have one. He knows exactly how he wants to attack. Our prayer effectiveness in these times will be severely limited until we discover the enemy's goals. So number one, he comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. We already established that. Number two, he has an enemy to God, and he don't like you either. He's an enemy to God, and he don't like you either. He one of his strategy is demonic terrorism. keep you on your toes. But he should be keeping, but it should be keeping you on your knees. Not you on your toes jumping every time something happened, but it should keep you on your knees. So the Merriam-Western definition of strategically is a relating to or marked by strategy, plan, approach, tactics, policy, and strategic retreat. Number two, it is necessary or important in the initiation, conduct, or completion of a strategic plan. Number three, B, required for the conduct of war and not available in quantities dramatically. Strategic material. C, of great importance within an interrogated whole or to a planned effect. And then the last one, designed or trained to strike an enemy at the four sources of his military, economic, or political power. That's what strategically is. So strategic prayer is connection with the above definition of strategically is essential prayer that is necessary to conduct war. It is necessary to conduct war. Look at your neighbor and tell them that. It is necessary to conduct war, to accomplish an objective, to destroy the enemy and his devices. Prayer is deliberately, tactfully, intentionally, and purposely to disarm your enemy. It is to disarm him. It is important or essential in relation to a plan of action. So in prayer, you know, it's okay that sometimes we pray because all of a sudden something is happening and we need to go to prayer. But there are times when we need to sit and plan and strategize, because you need to get some word in you. If you're going to really pray effectively, you got to pray the word. God will honor his word. His word is a weapon. His word is a two-edged what? Sword dividing. What? The son of, so you come in with a sword to cut the enemy off. And I always say, cut the snake head off. And guess what? He's dead. He's not getting up anymore. I'm finna go country on y'all. He ain't. He ain't getting up no more. I'm educated, but I'm from California. My mama's from Mississippi, Memphis, Tennessee. My dad from Mississippi. So I'm a little bit country and I'm a little bit rock and roll. It is essential to conduct a war intended to destroy the military potential of an enemy strategically. So spiritual strategy is a conflict between good and evil forces of God and Satan has been raging. This battle has been raging forever and ever since it was found in Satan's heart. Isaiah 14, 12 through 16. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who are weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. So he said it first in his what? In his heart, what he was going to do and what he was going to be. So there are some things that we must do. Number one, we must identify and prioritize prayer targets. Identify, prioritize prayer targets. Two, prioritize frontline areas where the spiritual battle wages most fiercely. And I didn't look at my watch to see what time I started, so somebody please let me know when my time is up. So Proverbs 24 and 5, because I'm trying to get through this. I may not make it through all of it, but you have the notes. It's better to be wise than strong. I love this scripture. When the Holy Spirit brought this, I was like, woo, come on. Proverbs 24, 5 and 6. It is better to be wise than strong. Well, intelligence outranks muscle any day. All right. See, he may try to strong arm you, but if you got some spiritual intelligence, come on somebody. Come on somebody. If you got some spiritual intelligence, it would outrank muscle any day. Strategic planning is a key to warfare. To win, you need a lot of good counsel. And that's what their scriptures say. Sometimes we battle and we war and we battle by ourselves, and God never meant for us to be in a battle by ourselves, because the Bible says that the battle belongs to who? It belongs to the Lord. But also the Bible talks about how we have a brothers and sisters, and how we have a whole host of witnesses that have gone through some things, that have stood in faith, hallelujah, and partnered in faith and stood the test of time to decree and declare as one that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we can run through troops, and that we can do what? We can leap over walls. So it's better to be wise and intelligent, outrace muscle any day. Strategic planning is a key to warfare. To win, you need a good counsel. So there are three kingdom dynamics areas that we will look at on today. The first one is warring in the spiritual realm. See, we often think that it's all natural, because we're in this body, we're in this flesh. But it is spiritual. It is a spiritual battle. You may feel like it's a natural battle, especially when he's attacking your body. You may feel like it's natural, but it is still spiritual. It's happening in the spiritual realm. There are ranks. There are ranks of spirits, and they are over different territories. Then we're going to number two, we're going to talk about spiritual strategy. And then three, strategic prayer targeting, which is so key and so important, which is one of the things that we really, really use a lot on our Wednesday prayer call. And I wasn't even aware that that's what I was doing, but God gave me the format. Number one, he told me, he said, what is the prayer focus? What's the prayer focus when you come together? Then he said, you need a scripture to back that up. Then he said, what are the prayer topics concerning that particular focus? And then he said, you back that up with the word. Okay? So warring in the spiritual realm, prayer is our spiritual weapon for spiritual battle. Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our wrongdoings, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So guess what? We're not earthbound, even though we're in this earth. The Bible says we're not what? Of it. And often as believers, we forget, hallelujah, that he seated us with him in where? Heavenly places. So we got to change our mindset. We need a paradigm shift to put our mind where? In heavenly places. Prayer is that which ushers us into the heavenly places. It is this unseen spiritual realm where we are seated with Christ. Most battles are not won because the battle is in the natural realm. But the battle is, as I said earlier, a spiritual battle. However, there's also a battle that wages within these places. We must use spiritual weapons to fight this battle. The greatest ammunition we have been given is the weapon of prayer. And there are many, many, many others, but we're talking about prayer. And when I do the prayer calls, often I do a teaching on the different types of prayers that they are. Because we need to understand as believers, there are different types of prayers. And then there are specific times for those different prayers, depending on what you're going through and what you're battling with. God wants us to live life in the here and now, experience his life, joy, peace, and love, flowing with his spirit he has placed within us. The enemy wants us to live in fear. He wants us to live in confusion. He wants us to live in strife. He wants us to be distracted. That's why he's always warring with us. You're always in warfare because he wants to keep you distracted. He don't want you to understand that you're more than a conqueror. He don't want you to understand that you already have the victory. He don't want you to understand that you already been healed. So as soon as that pain, that ache hit you, oh, you're distracted. You forgot. Wait a minute. By his stripes, I'm healed. So one of his greatest tactics is distraction. Distraction.
Amen.
We need need a prayer strategy because we need a plan to fortify and fight back against our spiritual enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on alert. Look at your neighbor and say, be on alert. Yes. This is part of the prayer strategy. You got to be alert. Yes. A lot of times we don't even know or realize that we're in spiritual warfare. We just think it's just part of life. I'm just going through life. I'm getting older now. So, hey, I got arthritis in my big toe on my left foot. That's just the way it is. I refuse to come out of my heels. I'll say that again. I refuse to come out of my heels. Been wearing them for years. I clean up in my heels. I wash dishes in my heels. Even at church, they try to make me sit down in my heels. But the enemy comes to rob, steal, kill, and to do what? To destroy. And then it goes on to say, the devil prowls around like. He's just acting. He's acting like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6:12, our struggle is ultimately against spiritual evil, forces of evil, meaning the real battle is spiritual warfare of good versus evil. There is a spiritual war going on for the hearts of man, and as the forces of evil want to turn us away from God, and it wants to separate us from him. And so one of his other tactics is isolation. He will isolate us, make us feel that, oh, woe is me, I'm the only one going through this. God forbid. How long have man been on this earth? Somebody have already experienced what you already dealing with, and the enemy don't want you to find out who that person is so they can walk you through to your victory. But what he does, he isolates you and puts you on hold. He pauses you and make you go through unnecessarily. I refuse to go through unnecessarily. And I'll share a couple of testimonies. So spiritual strategy. Identify specific spiritual strategies that the forces of evil may employ to launch a successful offensive. The title implies the overriding purpose of strategic prayer is to equip you to pray more strategically. So 2 Corinthians 10:5-6, for we walk in the flesh. So though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to what? The flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not what? The scripture said carnal or flesh or the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing. So I want to back that up because we want to highlight some things, and I think I did it on there already. So number one, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for, this is a strategy, destruction of fortresses. The enemy has fortresses that he builds up in our lives. He builds up in our family. We're talking about general curses and things like that. Certain things that he builds up fortresses. He builds up fortresses to make us think that we're not good enough, that we can't do it, that we just nothing. That everybody else is better than us. So he builds those things up. And then the other strategy in the scriptures, we are destroying speculation. That's a strategy. Destroy his speculations. And every lofty thing, every haughty thing, every disdainful thing, every condescending thing, every patronizing thing, every arrogant and every proud thing that the enemy raised up against the knowledge of God. You are coming against those things. That's a strategy. And we are taking strategy. God has already given us the strategy, but we don't really pay attention to what they are. We are taking every thought captives unto the obedience of Christ. So when you hear the word weapon, what do you think of? Anybody, when you hear the weapon, you hear the word weapon, what is your first thought? Come on, speak up. Gun, somebody say gun. Prayer. Bibles.
Fight.
I like that. Come on. I had a military colonel. He was a colonel, Pastor Stu, who helped plant us here. And I can't remember why I did what I did, but I took my fighting stance, and he looked at me. He called me Shanwell, because he told me I did all things well through Jesus Christ. He said, "That was a perfect fighting stance." I had no clue. But like I said earlier, there are certain things God put in you for a reason. And I'm telling you, I have had to battle, but I've learned strategically how to fight. So we take in every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we named some things that we thought about when we mentioned the word weapon. But when you're looking on the natural side, firearms, guns, missile, a stick, mace, a dog coming at you, you're going to do what? You're going to grab whatever you can, a stick, a rock, right? As ladies, we're going to carry some mace or a stun gun. I mean, our daughter Natalia, she carries that, what you call that little stunner thing? She has the mace and the stun. Yes, she does, because she's a little bitty thing. We think about artillery. We think about all the different military weapons. But the Holy Spirit gave me this, and it just floored me. He gave me two words for spiritual strategy: defense and deterrent.
All right.
Defense and deterrent. And I was like, really? Because when I did the synonyms, that came up: defense and deterrent. And so some of those, so defense is the action of defending from or resisting attack. When you're on the defense, you go to what? To war. You go to war, you go to battle, you go to fight. And so some of those synonyms that came up under defense was protection, resistance, security, cover, shield, vindication, and attack. So he had me break those words down. So this is prayer strategy. You need to go into a protection mode. Go into a protection mode because you're being what? Attacked. When you're being attacked, the first thing you do is what? You're gonna cover up. You're gonna bow up. Or you're gonna run for shelter because you're trying to get away. So you're trying to protect what? Yourself. So beyond physical posture, what do we do with our voices in prayer is a form of protection. What we do with our voices in prayer is a form of protection. The moment we bow before the Lord in prayer, God comes in. He comes in. Our prayer posture in warfare can give expression to the attitudes of our hearts. And so if we're in warfare, the Lord is looking at our heart. Are we going to be in fear? Are we going to fight? Or then there's another word, flight. Are we going to be in fear? Are we going to fight? Are we going to be in flight? We're going to try to run. But let me tell you, you can't get away from the devil, okay? But you can through prayer. You can through the name of Jesus. You can through the word of God. The Bible says that the weapons of the warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Of strongholds. So prayer strategy is all about pulling down strongholds. For our posture, our prayer posture in warfare can give expression to the attitudes of heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. When we approach God, our motives and the condition of our heart is what's important. You cannot go into prayer without having the right heart. You gotta have the right heart. We pray, we pray, we pray, and nothing's happening, nothing's happening. God, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong? There's a heart issue. So check your heart first. Check your heart first. When we approach God, our motive and our condition of our heart are important. It acknowledges our total weariness or unweariness. When God made a covenant with Abraham, Abraham recognized his unworthiness before God. And he fell on his face before the Lord. And that's in Genesis 17 and 1 and 3. We won't read it, but Moses fell on his face before God. But he fell on his face before God with the right heart, with the right attitude, with a sorrowful heart. It recognizes our need for God's mercy. When we need protection, we asking God, have mercy, Lord. How many times have you said, Lord, have mercy? Woo! Lord, have mercy. So when we asking for protection, it recognizes our need for God's mercy. When the leper came to Jesus for healing, he fell on his face and he begged for mercy. He said, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me clean. Amen. So sometimes we need protection from sickness. We need protection from diseases. We need protection from the things. And I know we were doing a lot of praying during the pandemic. So Luke 5 and 12. It shows a proper response to a serious crisis that we're going through when we need protection. Often when the leaders of Israel faced impossible situations, they knew that only God could deliver them. They fell on their knees before him and sought his aid. They asked him, God, I'm in a crisis and I need help. Amen. I need help. Yep. That's a form of protection. You asking God, I need help. It expresses worship and reverence. When God answered the prayer of Abraham's servant, the man, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. That's in Genesis 24 and 3. And then that next word that he gave us was resistance. James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. And he's going to do what? Flee. That's a strategy. Resist. Resist. So the Strong Concordance number 436. The Greek word for resist definition is antihistamine. What do you think about when you have antihistamine? Is to block what? Allergies. Come on, nurse. Cough, sore throat. Come on. We're talking about protection. Come on. Antihistamine, you need to throw up some blocks, okay? So what that word means is to set against, withstand if the enemy is kicking your tail. I put that tail, I don't want to say nothing else, behind. It's because you haven't got fed up enough. When you have had enough of the devil, you're going to throw up some resistance. You're going to say, hold on, wait a minute. In the name of Jesus, get behind me, Satan. But until you've had enough, until you get sick and tired of the enemy beating you up, and you with your tail behind between your legs, you're going to keep getting knocked down. But when you had enough, you're going to put up some what? Some resistance. Yes. Resistance is to take a complete stand against. Yes. And then that third definition, holding one's ground. Hold your ground. This is strategy. It may sound simple, but it is strategy. Hold your ground. Yes. Many times on our prayer call, the prophets would come and say, hold your ground. Don't break rank. Too many times we break rank when we go to God in prayer. We give up because we feel he's not moving fast enough. But our time is not God's time. His time is perfect. He has Chronos time. A specific time that he's going to bring you through. A specific time that you're going to experience your victory. And then even through that, he's trying to teach you something. He's trying to say, Sheila, are you tired yet? Have you had enough yet? I share a quick testimony. A church that I came out of, we was having an event and some of the youth was running and they knocked down one of the seniors. And it really affected her really, really bad that it triggered restless leg syndrome. And Ruth was a prayer warrior. And we didn't see her for months. But we continued to pray, pray, and pray, and pray, pray. And then one Sunday she showed up. And I went to her and I hugged her. I said, oh, Miss Ruth, it's so good to see you. She said, honey, older white lady, I think Ruth was about 85. She said, I got tired of the devil. I got tired of that booger. She said, I grabbed his ear. I pinned him up against the wall. And she said, I told the devil, enough is enough. When you had enough of the enemy, you gotta resist the enemy. And he know when you have strategies that you can use. I'll give another testimony. April of this year, woke up one morning, picked up my phone, looked at some text messages, read a scripture, looked at some emails, and the vision in my life, my left eye went dark. I couldn't see anything out of that eye. And the other eye was blurry, and I'm seeing stars, and you know, and I was like, ooh, this is pretty. And I'm like, okay, I used to have migraines many, many years ago. I said, let me go get some Tylenol real quick. I know what to do, get some coffee, because I know what to do with a migraine. And then I heard the Lord reminded me that a couple of weeks prior to that on a prayer call, one of the prayer warriors, and also she's a prophet, she said, Pastor Chanel, she said, the Lord said the enemy is angry with you. And he is angry with you because of this prayer line. Because this has been a lifeline to many. You have taught, you have trained, and people have experienced miracles and breakthroughs on this very line. She said, now the attack is going to be physical. She said, get ready, it's going to be physical. So the Holy Spirit reminded me of that. And I said, okay, let me get up. And I halfway got myself ready because I couldn't see. And so I went and told Pastor Zach, I went in the office, I said, honey, I need to take me to ER. And he said, why? And he's looking at me like, again? And I was like, I can't see it out of my left eye. He's like, what? And I'm like, what you mean you can't see? I said, I see nothing. It was pitch black. And I'm like, hello, I can't drive myself. So he took me to ER, long story short, went before the doctor. But as I was waiting, I told the devil this. I said, devil, thank you for another testimony. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Thank you for another testimony. Because I've been through so much in this body, I'm telling you. I shouldn't even be standing here today. Should have been dead over 34 years ago. Cancer in the last stage. Healed miraculous. No chemo, no radiation, no surgery. And even as this week went to the doctor, they looking at me, how old are you? 66. You can't be 66. Yes. He said, I know I ask you that all the time. He said, but I'm looking at your chart. No surgeries. Come on, somebody. No medication. No high blood pressure. No diabetes. But let me get back. After I told the enemy, thank you for another testimony, my vision started clearing up. By the time I got to the ER doctor, he said, how many fingers do you see? I said, I don't see any. He said, what do you mean you don't see any? I said, I see just the palm of your hand, but I couldn't see the fingers. He said, that's weird. I said, yeah, I know, it's spiritual warfare. Whose vision clears up from the bottom up? And it was just a straight line. And I just laughed. I laughed. That's a strategy. Laughter does good like a medicine. I let him know, you think you got me by doing this? The week after that, getting ready to go for a conference, and we were rushing all day, still hadn't packed, got home at 9 o'clock that evening. Pastor Zach and our daughter got something to eat. I didn't want fast food. I'm like, I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to cut me a half of avocado. When I went to cut the half of the avocado, it slipped on the seam. It cut my finger right where you bend it at, all the way down to the nerve. I should have panicked. Our daughter is a nurse. She looked at me because blood just went pshh. And I just looked at her calmly. I said, nurse, come and wrap it up. Because I had already been warned. The battle, the warfare is going to be what? Natural. It's going to become physical.
All right.
So I wasn't afraid. So not being afraid is another prayer target. Let me keep moving. How much time do I have? Anybody, how much time do I have? I'll keep going. Okay. So now we talk about resistance. Holding your ground, refusing to be moved, push back. When I told the devil, thank you for another testimony, I was pushing back. I was reminding who he was. defeated foe and you under my feet. So get down there where you belong, eat some dirt. So some of the synonyms for resistance is fight, battle, struggle, counterattack, repel, oppose, defy, challenge. Challenge that roaring lion. Challenge him. I challenged him. I said, thank you for another testimony. What else you got? Just went to the hematologist. Been going for over since 2018. Have a really, really low white blood count. Said I should have leukemia or autoimmune disease. I don't have any of that.
Amen. Praise God.
Because I pushed back. I counterattacked. I used the strategy. Security. Going to the next one. Security. You need the heavenly host reinforcing backing you up. Don't be afraid to call on the angels of the Lord. Daniel 10:3 and 13-21. But the prince of Persia has been fighting against me for 21 days. But then somebody said, Michael, one of the most important angels, came to help me. Angels are there to assist you and help you. This is another part of strategy. Call on them to assist you in times of trouble, because I have been left there with the king of Persia. Then the other one, the next one is take cover, because that word that was on the synonym was cover. I put take cover. Matthew 5 through 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, you have received your full reward, your reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to who? Your Father who is not seen. And as I was preparing for this today, I was reminded of the movie The War Room. And I hadn't thought about that or seen that movie for a while. But in that movie, the concept of praying strategically was in the prayer closet. Yes. And that movie really changed a lot of perspective on how to pray. And in the movie, the main character played by Priscilla Scherer turned her closet into her personal prayer room. She used different scriptures to form the foundation of different prayers over very specific areas in her life. She would then write her prayers out on sheets of paper. So journal. I journal when we're on that prayer call. I write down everything the prayer warriors say, because I want to go back and look at it. And then the other thing that we do after we pray, we ask, what is God saying? Is there a word? Is there any prophetic insight or prophetic pictures that the God is speaking us today? And I write those down so I can go back and I can look at it. So journal. So she would then write down the prayers on sheets of paper, post-it notes, or index cards, and hang them on the wall of her closet. Then she would spend time each day intentionally praying strategically, praying over different areas of the life in the war room. And I'm saying that you have to be to that extreme, but however, the movie had an awesome precept of what we should be doing as believers. The next word that we had in that synonym was shield. Activate your prayer shield. Amen. Activate. Faith without works is what? Dead. Dead is a doornail. Ain't nothing happening. You can pray all you want, but if you don't believe, if you don't have faith as a mother seed, nothing is going to happen. They're just empty words. You gotta have faith. Ephesians 6 and 16 through 24. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the devil, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Strategy, pray at all times in the Spirit, in all prayer and supplication. Pray at all times in the Spirit, in all prayer and supplication. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. Praying in the Spirit at all times. When you don't know what to pray for, pray in the Spirit. As the Bible says, with moans and groans that cannot what be uttered, for the Spirit knows what we ought to pray for, even when we don't know what to pray for. Amen. The vindication, the action of clearing someone of blame or suspicion. God has already vindicated you. Yes. If you understand that, then you don't have to worry about it. You have already been vindicated. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against you will not prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, it shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their vindication is from me, says the Lord. The vindication is from him. You don't have to worry about it. And then the other word, the last one, was attack. And I put counterattack. Fight for your victory. Amen. Fight for your victory. Don't ever, ever give up on victory. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the full armor of God so that you may stand against the schemes of the devil. And then that other word, deterrent. Deterrent. Which is a thing that discourages or is intended to discourage someone from doing something. You want to discourage the enemy from coming after you. So if you do the prayer strategies, it would deter him from coming after you. Prayer is a deterrent to pray effectively against the devil and his activities against you. You must know what to pray as a believer. Knowing what you need to pray against the enemy determines whether your prayers will hit the target and keep the devil away. Now I want to move forward, so let's go to prayer targeting and I'll be done. And then the rest you guys can look at it. Prayer, strategic prayer targeting. We use strategic prayer targeting to prioritize our prayer to achieve a specific goal. First, we define the goal, as I said earlier, or the focus of why you are praying. What do we hope to accomplish through our prayer? What is it that you want to accomplish through your prayer? If you need healing, you want to be healed. If you want to be delivered, you want to be delivered. So what is your focus? If you don't know a goal, we won't know how to pray. Your prayer goal should be well defined, specific, and comprehensive. It is indefinite or incomplete, or prayers will certainly fall short of the mark. We miss the mark. We pray amiss. In the same way, in the military, carefully evaluates the selects its target objectives. So much are we to evaluate and select ours. I remember preparing for Wednesday prayer call, seeking the Lord about the format, and where he told me, again, prayer topics, scriptures, focus, all of those things, I began to understand that I had a prayer target. I was targeting prayer. Prioritize your prayers. Know where to put the spiritual explosive and where to direct your target. Strategic prayers target the enemy's power and principalities, also personalities. I always say that, because sometimes in our principalities, we're dealing with personalities. Discern when those powers and principalities are active against you. Prioritize the detonations, detonating prayers to accomplish the goal. In both physical and spiritual warfare, strategic timing in mission is critical information on when and where to place that detonation. Sometimes we don't know what type of attack we are under. We need to know what type of attack is this? Identify it. And set your detonations through prayer. The Holy Spirit, not our efforts, leads us to the right place at the right time and opens our eyes to truly mission critical information. A prayer strategy helps you to be on guard. Live a guarded prayer life according to Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray. And then 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, spirit, be on alert. Your adversary the devil, as we said already, prowls around seeking who may be thou. And then remember, we can boldly approach the throne. And moving forward. We're going to number 4, main strategic prayer points, real quick. I would suggest starting by compiling a list of your prayers. There are 4 main types of prayer to consider: long-term prayers, short-term prayers, declarations, and prayer. What are some specific things that you are praying for right today? What are you praying for? What are you asking God for? Here are a few examples of things that you can include in your prayers. And I won't read them, but you can go back, as we mentioned, long-term prayers. You could be praying for your marriage, your spiritual condition of your children, your loved ones. You need strength. You could be long-term praying for your pastors, your leaders. You definitely need to be praying for who's going to be the next president. Number two, short-term prayers are prayers that require long-term consistency. Just a couple of requests, praying for others. Things I feel anxious about, requests for wisdom and clarity. That could be considered short-term prayer. Declarations of prayer, promises, and precepts in God's word that you declare over different areas of your life and the lives of others. And then there's a prayer of thanksgiving. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and pleading with thanksgiving, let your requests made known to God. Let me tell you, when the enemy was attacking my back so bad, and they was telling me I should be in the wheelchair, the only time I had relief was when I was in the presence of God through worship. That was the only time that I wasn't in pain. It was through worship. And then there are, you can use scriptures in your prayer strategy. Pray the scriptures, and I gave some examples of prayer scriptures to pray moving forward, example of scriptures to praise and declare declarations. I gave examples for that. I'm almost done. In closing, pray with expectation. If you don't expect nothing, you won't get anything. The Lord taught me that. When I pray, expect for him to move. Expect my miracle. Expect my breakthrough. Expect to be healed. I could be standing up here not even able to preach because I'm blind and my left eye. But I have full, total vision. And when the time they sent me to see the specialist, she said, "How old are you?" They always do that to me. "How old are you?" I can't believe it. I'm jealous. What for? You have 20/20 vision. Did you hear what I said? You have 20/20 vision. I don't know what's happening with your eye, but you have 20/20 vision. At your age, no glaucoma. There's a little speck of a cataract. She said, but it's so small, you'll never have an issue with it in your lifetime. She said, the only thing I see is your eyes are extremely dry because I read a lot. I studied a lot. I was preparing to teach a class for the university. So I was constantly using my eyeballs. And they got dry. And I didn't know what was happening. So just put some eye drops in it and keep on pushing. Put some prayer on it. Snap some prayer. One thing I always say about the devil that I like doing to him is a Holy Ghost slap by. And then he does the matrix. And he tried to get away, but you can't dodge prayer. He can't get away from the targeted prayer. Then again, I want to tell you, pray in faith. And then last, stay focused on God's kingdom. Stay focused on his kingdom. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything that and all things will be provided for you, according to Matthew 6:33. We should always prioritize God's kingdom and glory above our own desires, our preferences, our comforts. Continue to ask the Lord to search, know, and reveal your heart to the true motives, because it goes back to the heart. When you pray, you got to have the right motive, and you got to have the right heart. God bless you.